Now, many of you, not all, but many of you know that I spent my professional career as a teacher. And if anybody has ever had anything in their life that has to do with teaching, you know that when the beginning of August rolls around, you begin to start thinking about school coming in the fall. In fact, I have a very early August birthday, and I've had to spend most of my life not acting like once my birthday comes on August 2nd that summer is over, because it simply is not. But when you are in that world of school, that's how you begin to think. And so, as I knew I was coming and working on this, guess what? The end of July, early August, I start thinking how this is going to come out to be on August 25th. And it's just part of my chemical makeup. And I only say this to you because I want to ask you to keep in mind that when I started these thoughts, when I started this process, it was before the El Paso shootings. It was before the Dayton shootings. It was before or right in line with the primary debates and the primary conversations. It was before the immigrant arrests in Mississippi. It was before the volatility of the stock market. It was before all of these things. And so I really, really want you to know that those events are not what precipitated my thinking, the thinking I'm going to share with you now. Those events were not, this is not a reaction to that, is what I need you to know before I move on. My thoughts were melding long before that. So thank you. Thank you. This is where I said Barbara's words may not be completely true. I'm kind of putting myself out here for you today. So for the last few months, and maybe even a little longer, I have been facing a challenge. No. My health is fine. My health is totally fine. My family is fine. My life is smooth in many, 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 many ways, for which I am grateful. But I have been troubled. I have been deeply troubled to the point that it has had an impact even on my daily comings and goings. I've been a little discouraged. I've been a little overwhelmed. And it hasn't just been one thing. It's been many, many things. And while this malaise may be from the state of the world, it isn't, I'm going to say it again, it isn't about one person or one condition. It crosses party lines. It crosses church and state. It's present with me with what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. It's how I see people behaving to each other, and it's scary. It's very scary, says Debbie Downer standing before you this morning. It's very scary. In fact, there have been times it's felt almost a little paralyzing. And the truth is, checking out those doors, it would be so, so simple to give it all up. I could. I have a nice home. I have a nice little circle of people in my world. I could give it all up. I could go in the hole. I could live in the safety of my home. I could close off a lot of the world. I could forget about being a person who tries to make a difference in what I do. I could forget about worrying about injustice or unfairness. I could forget about putting myself anywhere where I could get that vulnerability feeling, and I could go behind these doors or any doors and lock myself in. And I could do it. We all could do it. Am I going to do that? Probably not. But this is what I've been feeling, and I wanted to share that. Now, since this is church, and this is Sunday morning, you may be thinking that this is the time when I'm going to say, it's all okay. We'll talk to God. We'll give it to God. God is ever powerful, and God's mercy will prevail. And there's nothing, nothing that God can't do. God has this. And you know, I would love to say that. I would love to stand before you and say that, but I'm going to go even one more step on the honesty path here, and I'm going to say that, in fact, has even been part of my problem. Because in recent months, I've thought a lot about God and faith and trust, and I feel as if I'm having a lot of questions along with some of my certainties. And in fact, I have joked to more than a few people, I feel like I'm going through things in my 60s that I should have been doing in my 20s. That most normal people kind of go through this soul searching in their 20s, and here I am in my 60s going through it. I'll tell you what I do believe in. I do believe in a loving and present God, and I do believe that God is with us in good times and bad, and I do believe that God doesn't just swoop in and fix a problem, but that God provides us what we need to get out there and do it. And I will never, never stand here and say that I think that God just sits by and designs challenges to test us. I just don't do that. But what I am going to say to you is that right now, this stretch of time, I don't quite get it. I'm not quite getting it. Some of the pieces aren't quite fitting. I feel as if I know the teachings and I know the words, and I've had experiences to support those words, but I'm just not quite getting it. In our scripture today, the words of the psalmist really make it very, very clear. And so I guess if I were a true scripturalist, I wouldn't have any questions. But I do. I do. In fact, the words of this psalm moved Martin Luther, so much that they inspired him to write the beloved hymn that we will be singing later this morning as our final hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Martin Luther heard that psalm and went, yes, and penned one of the greatest hymns of all time. But I still have questions. I can learn from verses 1 through 7 as they discuss exactly what I am asking. They tell us that God is our refuge and our strength. They tell us that God is a very present help in trouble, and that therefore we will not fear, though the earth should shake and the earth should change and the mountains will tremble and the waters will roar. Okay, I kind of get this, that God is our refuge and strength. But it isn't saying that things won't happen, but when they do happen, God is our strength. Good. I get it. That makes sense. The verses 8 through 10 tell us all the things that God does. God can make war cease. God can break bows and spears, and presumably God can lead people to righteousness and goodness. And we are told that God is exalted among the nations and is exalted on earth. These are beautiful words, and they're strong words and comforting words, and it is certainly not up to me to dispute them. But I can't help wondering, and this is where my wondering has been, what it all looks like now in 2019 as God lives among us. And that, I think, is what's causing me the tension. What does it look like now? What I am going to hold onto is the beginning, the beautiful words that we all know so well from the beginning of verse 10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." be still and know that I am God. As I said earlier, there have been times when I have felt that I could pretty easily pull right on in and retreat into my home and myself behind my door and make a little cocoon. But as I plow through it, as I have been doing for many months, and as I specifically have been doing working on this, I don't think I need to. I don't think I need to pull in. And I'm going to share with you now a couple of little mantras and a little exercise using verse 10 that have helped me and maybe can help us as we strive to be caring, loving people who live our lives following the lessons of God. Now, I'm going to step aside for a second, and I'm going to tell you I'm breaking the very first rule of speaking. I'm breaking every rule that should ever happen because I'm going to be a grandma, and I'm going to put my grandma picture up on the screen. I know, you're not supposed to talk about your own grandson, but it actually works here. This is my grandson, Aaron. He's a little bit older now than he was in that picture, but actually the story I'm going to tell you goes along with that picture. That was at Thanksgiving a couple of years ago. But one night, Aaron walked into his mother, and he marched in, he was about four, as he was in this picture, and he said, "Mommy, my body's telling me that I'd like some candy." And he said, "My body's telling me I need some candy." And Katie, my daughter, said to him, "You know, Aaron, you've already had some sweets today. No candy tonight." And he turned away, started to walk away, and she hears him say, "Not today, body." And he didn't get his, "Not today." So that's become a little mantra in my life, that when I'm starting to feel the slippery slope, I say, "Not today, body," just like Aaron did back then related to his candy. The next picture I'm going to show is Audre Lorde. Who knows who Audre Lorde is? You know Audre Lorde? How would you describe her, Lily? Yep. Audre Lorde, thank you. Thanks very much. Audre Lorde was a poet. She was the former New York State Poet Laureate. She was an activist and a profound and inspirational voice for LGBTQIA, civil rights, feminism, and as she herself called herself, a warrior. And so the next thing I'm going to tell you is about Audre. Audre Lorde was a powerful, powerful force. She was a warrior. She fought all kinds of things. And her biggest fight, as many of us have had to look at, was facing her own death. And she wrote a poem entitled, "Today is Not the Day." And I have only pulled excerpts from that poem, but if you are interested, it's AudreLorde, and her poem, "Today is Not the Day," is available in a number of her books. Her poem goes that I wrote, or that I excerpted, "Today is not the day. It could be, but it is not. Today is today. Sun shining down upon the farmhouse. This could be the day I could slip anchor and wander to the end of the jetty, but today is not the day." When I am feeling despair or confusion or frustration or whatever, I have taken these two sources and I think about, "Not today, body," and "Today is not the day that I'm going to give up. Today, I won't give up. Today, I will face what I see as unfair or unjust or just not right, and I will do. I will write. I will pray. I will show up. I will question. I will listen, I will work side by side, and I will challenge. I don't have to be responsible for the next 10 or 5 or 2 years or even next week. But I can do it today and not give up. Today is not the day I give up. Not today, body. Now, as I move myself to saying I can do it, I won't give up, I also have to keep in mind nourishment and nurturing. And this is where the be still and know that I am God comes in. Many interpretations of this verse take it to mean be still in the presence of God and hear God's voice. And if you Google it and look at images, you will see many, 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 many glorious natural views with streams and waterfalls and mountains and trees. And you know what? If that works, great, go for it. But I want to share with you that the Hebrew translation is a little bit different. Rather than that concept of being in solitude and stillness, the Hebrew is the word rapa, and that means to slacken, to let down, and to stop the frantic action. It's subtle, but it's different. So when I have these tensions that I've been feeling, they may be leading me to be wound tight, and that's not productive. And the word rapa means to stop that frantic action. Be still and to know God. A few years ago, I saw an exercise meditation using that Bible verse, be still and know that I am God, and I'd like to share that with you now. I do this. I've done it in doctor's offices. I've done it in airports. I've done it in different places. I've done it lying in my bed, just relaxing. And what you do is you start out with the phrase, be still and know that I am God. You can say it once. You can say it 15 times. You can say it over and over again or just kind of hit on it. And it really is amazing how words emerge during this as you do it on different days. So, you're in a comfortable position and you're saying, be still and know that I am God. Now, as you can tell from the graphic there, what it is we're going to gradually be knocking words away. So, you repeat, be still and know that I am God, and then you move to, be still and know that I am. And then you cut some more words off and you say, be still and know. And then you cut it down further and you say, be still. And then finally, you cut it down and you say, be. And this has been how it goes. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. I offer it to you. I personally have found it to be very supportive of how I'm feeling. I think just the nature of it relaxes. And I also think if you have had the experience, have the same experience that I've had, you will find that on different days, your brain goes to different lines and it works through. So I offer that to you today. Before we move on with our worship service, I would like to share a poem with you. Now, some of you may already know it. It's by Wendell Berry, who is a farmer and a poet, and who publicly and privately treasures our earth, and who is an activist for our earth and is very concerned about our earth. And he shares in this poem a way that he finds of being when he's feeling kind of worn down. This is called The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of the wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Not today, body. Today is not the day. Today, living with faith, I will be. Amen.